Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Amazed at what I am, I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all with a hell of a shout. It's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, yeah.
Peace, union, business, and do members really care? Welcome to the Fire Up MUA program, 3CR Radical Radio. You're with the Fire Up team, MUA team, Rob, Dean, Dylan, Aaron, and myself, Dave. How are you, comrades?
And of course, we've got Annie, our ever faithful producer.
Yeah, who got up in the morning, it's dark and it's cold.
And Dave's still miserable. Doesn't matter what time of the day, Ernie.
Don't do that. People will start to think he is miserable. He's not. He's a good human being, mate. He even laughed once last week. I saw it.
Cheery smile on his face.
He did, mate. I saw it.
No, I won't have a fire. We're not lying to our members, Robert.
We want to talk a little bit about the big slogo, and it is a big slogo. Peace is union business, and we want to relate that to the current debate around the nuclear submarine program, which is part of the AUKUS program.
You know what Kevin Bracken called it when it was first announced? I went to a rally on the steps outside the Victorian Library, and he said, call it you sucker.
that's not bad taking off the acronym.
Absolutely. And I guess you could say, unlike the nuclear submarine program, the MUA are fired up.
Yes, Dave. Where's the following line to that, mate? Just quietly.
Oh, my God, it's 6:35 and you draw a long bow.
Well, the audience out there may not know, but you are actually called the MUA Fire Up Show.
We are.
Fire up like an old turbo diesel, I think, this morning.
Dean, last week you and I and Ian Bray from the ITF and quite a few other people attended a Peace and Justice Committee meeting, and that's about trying to motivate unions to get on board with the Peace's union business and to build up the campaign against nuclear submarines, against the AUKUS arrangements. What did you think of that meeting, mate?
Oh, I thought it was a great start to where we should be heading, mate. And I know that this is not a new topic in the peace movement in Australia in general, or in the trade union in movement. It is not a new thing, mate. You know, the MUA in particular has been supporters of a no war peace campaign for decades and decades, well before my time or any of our time. So I think it was a good start. We need to start making some inroads, mate. Obviously, the continued slaughter of innocent people in Gaza should be, in my opinion, the main focus on where we're heading right now in this day and age. You know, we've got Israel starting to bomb Syria as of yesterday. They're out of control, mate. And the AUKUS issue needs to be spoken about, not just at our level, on a broader level across the country. But, we should be the people that start to generate talk, to generate interest in it. And I think our meeting last week was a great start in starting that, generating some of that action around it. It's just about getting, people like, if it's Vic Trades Hall, other political groups in the state behind us, and start gaining a bit of momentum.
It's a good continuation of our union's long history
of being anti-war and pro-peace. And I think every ship from the time that we had leaders like E.V. Elliott was a peace ship, declared a peace ship, particularly through war times in Australia, and we've always been used to try and end or stop or not support unjust conflicts or any conflict at all. I would probably say, probably describing it as unjust is a bit of a weird thing. They're all pretty unjust.
You know that the MUA has had a long history of this, of course, because it's your union, but people shouldn't forget it's the working class who actually go and die, you know. And a lot of the fire behind your MUA voice was all the amount of people that died who were working in the Merchant Navy and all your people.
Correct.
Yeah, 1 in 8 people died in war times over the last few decades that spanned from World War One onwards. 1 in 8 merchant seafarers died just as ancillary casualties from both enemy and friendly fire, I think.
Mm, yeah, correct. And that's still going on today, mate. You know, we've got Houthi rebels blowing up sinking vessels in the Red Sea and they're seafarers, you know, dying, perishing.
But this AUKUS thing, honestly, it's we do with this inverted commas deal, and then the US are now saying, like, you don't go to a car yard, buy a car, and then the car yard says, yeah, but you've got to use it when I tell you to use it. If I want to use that car, I'm going to go and have that car back.
You've also got to spend 5% of your wages on fuel for it.
Like, it's just mental. It's mental. It's not a deal. I mean, even if you thought it was, we needed it for sovereign capability, even if you thought it was a good way to go, it's just ridiculous that the US will dictate to us about how that's going to be used and utilised and when and where and all that. And we're not supporting it, by the way, but I'm just saying, you know.
Pretty brave criticising the US now, Robbie, when you're not heading over there to be detained in an ICE jail.
Well.
Trump's listening to this, mate.
He would like to think that he is 6:30, you know, whatever time it is, he's having to listen, you know, trying to educate himself.
What really?
Remember, we are ahead.
What really frustrates me is, you know, the
about 30 or 60 years.
The political parties in Australia never support the same policies. You know, yet on war and on AUKUS and on these submarines, there's bipartisan support, and it's just fucking bullshit, and it drives me crazy.
You call it bipartisan support? It's just kowtowing to the Yanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we always have, and that's for as long as I've been on the planet. That's what we do.
And there's also a bit of bipartisan opposition to the AUKUS, or the particularly the nuclear power submarines, with Malcolm Turnbull, Paul Keating voicing their opposition to the program and condemning it, basically.
It's amazing how many prime ministers turn socialist after they don't have to actually do anything.
I wonder if Albo in a couple of years' time will get up and say what a shit deal it was.
No, he's done the reverse. He was pro-Palestine, now he's pro-Zionist.
He was actually saying bipartisan stuff last night. He was misquoted in China over the last couple of days. So,
Pretty easy to get misquoted in China last night.
So yeah, he was misquoted, and he was explaining that he is bipartisan. So just to rub some fuel on your fire, Dave. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, and interestingly, he was supporting the One China policy, which is the Taiwan China dispute. So it'll be interesting to see where that stands.
So what you're saying is wherever he's standing, he will agree with whoever's there.
It's a moving, it's
one,
a very
one
moving
foot on
platform.
Either side of the line, I think, at the moment. And that's something that needs to come into this conversation as well, is about Taiwan and China and Taiwan. Do we really want to get drawn into a potential war or major dispute as a nation into something that, we shouldn't be, mate?
Which is actually an internal issue.
Yeah, and America, they've had a long history in being involved in conflicts and or wars that aren't theirs to fight or shouldn't be there. And as a nation, do we really want to be, you know, going down that line of becoming a society that, you know, builds respect in the Asia Pacific based off our military capability and might rather than being who we are as a nation now.
There's an awful lot of islands that are disappearing because of climate change. Yes. So maybe the Pacific won't have very much to say in the future.
Even if you were going to pick a side, you're not going to pick the side of the the team that has been in a number of wars and lost almost every one of them where they've done them. So I don't know. Even if we just want to do it purely on rates of who's bloody won.
Yeah.
Maybe we have a look at that as well.
Well, it depends on if you think it's the financial group, the greedy pigs, or the people of those countries that
The capitalists have always won.
They always win.
They don't. We're about to do some industrial reports where they haven't won.
Oh.
So even though there is bipartisan support for the nuclear submarine program, there was a fair bit of disharmony within the Labor Party, and in the conference in 2023, there was quite a few left-leaning unions, including the ETU, the Maritime Union, the CFMEU, the AMW, and believe it or not, the ASU, who spoke out against AUKUS and against the nuclear submarine program. So it's not 100% supported within the Labor Party. There is a growing faction and a growing concern within the Labor Party. We can only hope that those voices at some stage overpower the right wing that is running the show, and we move away from this outrageous program where Australia's committed to spend over $300 billion during the life of the program.
Well, you know, the Americans have said that we have to increase our military spend by
5%. They want it to 3.5% of our GDP.
I know.
Just stood over the Europeans to get theirs to 5%.
Yeah, so where's that money going? Yeah. Straight into their coffers.
Straight into the pocket of some...
No, we've got to spend that to increase our military capability we can be told by them, we're going to invade Taiwan at some stage and you'll be chopping us out.
Yeah. We're going to increase our capability.
You'll be sending your people...
Increase our money to spend on their products, to make their billionaires rich, to do their bidding in our backyard. It's outrageous. Yeah.
Of course it is. It is outrageous.
Do we want the song?
We do want the song. We're going to go to a great Midnight Oil song, US Forces, pretty appropriate for the times.
Oh, yeah.
U.S. forces give the nod. It's a setback for your country. Bombs and trenches all in rows. Bombs and threats still ask for more. Sing me songs of
there you go, members. That is a great song, and it is very apt. But, and Dave, you mentioned before the song, US Forces. There was also, you know, Midnight Oil, and Peter Garrett fronted Midnight Oil, and he stood for the Nuclear Disarmament Party over 40 years ago. And here we are all these years later, and we're still having a, you know, a discussion about the pros and cons of nuclear. You know, it's really ridiculous. So, yeah.
Welcome back to the Fire Up MUA program. You're with the MUA executive of the Victorian branch, and we're going to go into a few industrial ports. Aaron, we've got a stop work meeting taking place in the next day or two.
Yes, not the next day or two, but coming up we have a in the next week or two a stop work meeting for the guys down at Mirat. So Mirat is the Melbourne International Roll-On, Roll-Off Automotive Terminal. It's a bit of a mouthful, so we'll stick with Mirat, but well, we won't stick with Mirat. It's been consumed now by AAT, which is wholly owned by Cube. And they've done that on the eve of the expiry of their EA. So this stop work meeting will be for our members down there, to which is 100% density, I should add, to endorse a log of claims moving into to an EA campaign with the looking ahead to the expiry later this year in December. So. The campaign undoubtedly, and without wanting to predict what claims the members might have, the beginning of this campaign has been marred by some fairly unjust redundancy action being taken by the company, that of which is in dispute, and we'll be in front of the Fair Work Commission early next month about that. So there would likely be a claim around that. It's pretty important. Job security of our members is always a high priority, and the company's ability to try and use redundancies, in our view, to potentially pick heads, and that's why the dispute in the commission is around, will likely also be challenged or come forward as a claim for the enterprise bargaining. So. Our members down there are pretty fired up. I was trying to think of a synonym for that instead of using the title of the show, but it's true that they're fired up and ready to go and want to get into bargaining and get a good outcomes down there. Bargaining's going to be different, I think, this time round than it was last time round. Last time round, Mirat was owned by Wilhelmsen, which is a European company, pretty tripartite and conciliatory kind of. Tone to the discussions. This one's owned by Cube, so if it was anything like we were at Cube last time, we were 150 days action of belting them to get an outcome. We hope that we get an agreement for our members before the expiry so things can roll on, but that's the ball's in Cube's courts there, I guess.
Is Cube American?
No,
they're just monsters.
No nationality required.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. They... Because it's a small workforce, 23 or something like that, Aaron, and they're really tight. Like, you know, because it's a small workforce, they are really tight. And when the redundancy thing came their way, they were a little bit taken aback by that because they, you know, they work in together. You might be in this section, but you go over there to chop your mate out over there during the day. You do all that sort of stuff. You're working together. Over 700 days of no lost time injuries.
That's excellent.
You know,
that's
because great. Because they work
sounds
in
like
again.
Propaganda to me.
Well, it's propaganda, Rob. You've got to work on your media spin, brother. I said 100% density. We don't need to tell people.
Then when they get taken over, then the first thing they do is come in and say,
"How many people?
We want six. We want six to go." And
wow,
it's just not justified. Then they came back with another figure of four, and they're in the commission.
So what? They want people to turn on each other.
Well,
I think so.
Yeah,
that's usually the process.
It's really unfortunate. Yeah. Two people, and the process around what they put forward a criteria in four boxes, I think it was, or five. I can't remember, four or five. But that just allows them to basically terminate who they want. It's not make people redundant. They want to pick heads and terminate people.
And that kind of, you know, leads us into the discussion around performance reviews. Which we're negotiating with the Lynx EA at the moment. Anyone who's had a performance review done on them will know that it's a shit subjective process.
Of course it is.
We try to make it objective, but those performance review scores at the end of the day really count, because when redundancies do come up, it's usually based on performance reviews done by managers. So at Lynx, we have an ongoing dispute regarding the objectivity of the performance reviews and how they should be structured. Now, the members get really frustrated. They go, why the fuck do we have to go through this process? It's humiliating, it's degrading. But we can't. The company has the right to do it. They have the right to manage. But what the MUA is trying to do is get our people involved in those performance reviews so we actually do some of the scoring. It's controversial as hell, but it's either we get involved and have a bit of a say, or we let management do everything. And
no, we've got to be involved. It's funny you say about those performance reviews, right? I've used those in the past in appeals, in grievances, to ping the company for not doing them, saying, how could you possibly say you're not getting enough boxes per, you know, per shift on an average when you haven't done a performance review on him? And I've won the grievances, so they started doing performance reviews. You know what I mean?
Much to the angst of the rest of the membership.
Yeah, that's right. I was in the moment, Dave.
Now you do what you got to do to save a member's job. So, yeah, that's an ongoing dispute with the Lynx agreement. But we did touch on the last show very briefly about automation and how it's starting to have a greater impact on our industry, and it's happening at DP World and it's happening globally.
It is, yeah. So we are seeing that DP World now has notified in all four ports, I think, that they're going to automate to some extent. Here in Melbourne, as we've reported on the show before, they want to automate the straddles under the cranes. So they want to put automated horizontal vehicles between the crane and the yard, well, the crane and the transfer station, and then the former crane straddle will pick it up at the transfer station and put it in the yard. Doesn't quite make sense. But it looks like it's the beginning of an automation program for DP World that they're rolling out nationally, and I expect systems that will be rolled out globally as well if they haven't already. So we and our DP World members will all be meeting in August to have a conference for all four terminals up in Sydney, where we will discuss the, I guess, campaign and what we want to see come out of these outcomes. Automation, in our view, shouldn't be implemented without agreement, and certainly it shouldn't be implemented without benefits to the workforce.
Yeah, part of that process is that we need to, we have to meet with them and go through the notification of change or the appendix 4.
There's a prescribed process for the introduction of automation in the EA.
You've sort of got to tick some boxes.
And the MUA has been participating in that process thus far. The intensive discussions don't start until 9 months out. So right now we're just working out firstly, the company hasn't notified us of that they've bought the technology. They just said they're going to do it. They haven't said what they're actually... They've told us that they're going to use IGVs. They haven't told us that they've been purchased or ordered, but they've told us that they're going to be sitting on the dock in July next year, which... I don't know. I don't know. That's a pretty ambitious target if you haven't even put a purchase order in. And to get fucking paper towels down at DP World, it takes 3 months. So I don't know how they're going to put some multi-billion-dollar vehicles on the docks in 12.
Yeah, the conference will be good in August. A good initiative from National Office to sort of get everyone from all four ports together, get together and sort of, you know, strategize and sort of work through it. And obviously we've got some officials that have worked in ports where there's automation, whether it's up in Sydney, Hutchinson, or yourself, Aaron. So that'll be good coming up in August, and the membership at DP World appreciate that.
Good on you, Dylan. And Dino, mate, you must be coming to the pointy end of the Sea Road Seafarers Agreement. Did you manage to get that great roster in place?
Not yet, comrade. We're getting there slowly. We've got another meeting organised for, I think it's in the next fortnight. We haven't had a response formally from management on the union's position on a couple of our big ticket claims, and the roster is one.
Bastrate roster.
The old Bastrate roster. Yep. So we need to get a response first. We've got wheels in motion to start looking at our options, what we need to do without saying too much. So depending on the response, whether that's favourable to the membership or not, we'll be weighing up our options on where we go next. We all know, you know, where that heads.
The agreement expired, Dean?
Agreement has expired, mate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty basic.
It is pretty basic.
We know where we go.
So another agreement that's coming to the pointy end is the ANS agreement. One of the benefits that we've managed to negotiate through this negotiation is income protection. It's income protection if you get injured or sick at home outside the workplace. And I think it's been a great initiative by the union to get that into our agreements. And congratulations to the ANS members who hopefully will vote it up in a couple of weeks' time. So I'm sure they will.
They will.
We're heading towards the end of the show. In line with our opening discussion about peace is union business, we need young people to get out on the streets if there's going to be a change to the current policy around AUKUS and the nuclear submarines. And here's a song way back from the 70s or the 60s even that was about getting young people out on the streets. It's called For What It's Worth by Buffalo Springfield.
Have a great day, members.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.